Earlier, we heard God's call to Abraham. He was tested by God when he heard God tell him to sacrifice his son. Now, we did not hear that Abraham quarreled with God. We did not hear that Abraham turned his thoughts over day by day, dreading what God had asked him to do. There was no questioning, no hesitation. On the next day, he prepared his things, gathered his donkey and two men, and journeyed 3 days to the mountain that God had showed him. Now, I stop there, and I imagine that Abraham's mind, in his mind, this would be a mountain that he would loathe for the rest of his life, the mountain that God would take his most precious possession. But as we know, that was not to be. It's hard to imagine how he would feel, how we would feel if we were Abraham. Fear, dread, anxiety, loneliness. How different is this from our own lives? I would not imagine all too different when we listen for God's call to us. I don't imagine many of us would say that God told me not to do anything that would help me grow in my faith. When God calls, it is almost always difficult to imagine ourselves stepping out of our comfort and into a challenge to grow in our faith. But that's exactly what Abraham is doing, growing in his faith despite what he might be feeling. For any of you who have lost a loved one, a mother, a father, a spouse, a sibling, a child, a dear friend, these texts might bring up uncomfortable feelings you'd rather leave in the past. But despite the grief, the loss, the tremendous cost to your life, I hope that you can find God's presence in your life through your own healing. God's presence in finding gratitude for the blessings on their lives and on yours. I hope that you can find God growing your faith even when you feel that all is lost. I also find it significant that Abraham was steadfastly faithful to God through the 3 days that he spent on his journey. 3 days is a long time to think about something so drastic. It's enough time to break anyone from their focus. But we didn't hear that Abraham was deterred from being faithful to God. When Abraham arrived at the mountain, he and his son gathered wood, and Abraham prepared an altar for God's sacrifice. Isaac, his son, turned to Abraham and asked him, "Where is the ram to sacrifice?" And God said he would provide a ram. Then, in what seems a betrayal to his own son, he bound his son and placed him on the altar. That story echoes what would later happen with God's only son, Jesus, as he died on the cross. A time when the world thought that God in human flesh was dead and the story was over. But God proved our fears to be wrong when God turned all of that upside down as Christ defied death and ascended to heaven. Little did they know that Christ's reign was only just beginning. God can do miraculous things that we still, to this day, have difficulty comprehending. And how difficult it would have been for Abraham to comprehend what was to come. As he approached that altar and raised his knife in blind obedience, I imagine the thoughts running through his head, screaming at him not to do this, and how could God ask me to do such a terrible deed? What happened? In the blink of an eye, there was an angel telling him, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Here happened three things. I can imagine the tears of relief that came to Abraham when, after 3 days of pent-up anxiety, it all suddenly flowed away. Relief washing over him as the angel acknowledged that God saw it in Abraham's heart, that he was obedient and faithful despite the terrible fear that he faced. The second is when Abraham then looked up and saw a ram caught in the bush, a very unlikely event, a providential gift from God. I don't know the last time you tried to catch a ram, but they're quite adept at being hard to catch. And here God provided for Abraham both with his son's life and with a suitable sacrifice. So Abraham killed the ram and used it as a sacrifice to God. The third is that Abraham then praised God. He called the mount, "The Lord will provide." Now, he could have loathed it for the rest of his days, calling it the Mount the Lord tested me, or the Mount the Lord took everything. But that's not what happened. And in saying the words on the Mount of the Lord, it shall be provided, he unknowingly uttered the words that are still used today. Words that give us hope in the darkest of days, even when we may feel certain of our doom. So I turn this story around and ask you, have you felt tested by God? Have you walked blindly while following God's will, certain in your mind that God was calling you to do something, and equally certain it was not something you were ready to do? For pilots, one challenge they face is IFR flight, instrument flight rules. And what that means is learning to fly by the gauges in your cockpit. There's a funny thing that happens when you're flying through clouds. The first is that your visual references get robbed of you. You can no longer see the ground or the skyline or the sun, just a gray blanket of fog. And the second is that your sense of gravity is altered. There's bumping up and down and side to side that can occur. And when those things happen simultaneously, you can experience a profound sense of misdirection. As a pilot, you must guard yourself from miscalculating and pointing your plane in a dangerously wrong position. So they rely on their compass and their airspeed indicator, or their speedometer, if you will, and they rely on their altimeter to keep the plane flying in the intended direction, all the while ignoring the innate senses their body is telling them. And this scenario can be what following God's will can be like, learning to rely on something other than our own feelings, trusting in God to keep us pointed in the right direction despite how we may feel. That may translate into showing kindness to someone you don't want to or who has mistreated you in some way. That may mean putting a pause on your own ambitions to follow God. That may mean volunteering your time towards the church's efforts, despite the sacrifices you have to make to find the time to be there. That could be vacation Bible school, a church ministry, accepting an invitation to become ordained as a deacon, an elder, or a trustee. Maybe it's volunteering at church events or youth events. Maybe it means serving in worship services as a liturgist, singing in the choir, or serving communion. You could greet newcomers, be an usher, or hand out bulletins, take up the offering, or be an acolyte. You could help decorate the church for the different seasons, or join the Jordan Street Ringers. These are just a few, but there are more, and each equally important and vital for living into God's will. And I celebrate each of your efforts and urge you to continue your hard work. Those are the ways we can live into God's will. Those are the ways we can follow God's call. But it means certain sacrifices if we are to do that. Now, we do all of this out of gratitude to God for the gift of eternal life and freedom from sin. When we do these things, we experience God's grace and mercy in our lives. We experience God's love, and we experience the presence of God in our lives that we feel is a sense of peace that only God can provide. Now, going back to Abraham, we saw a dire situation turn into a miraculous situation. And God has a way of turning our expectations upside down. God's mercy shines through even the darkest of situations. As God's will is revealed, God teaches us that in following God's will, God rewards the faithful. And that is just what Jesus tells us in our second reading. Jesus tells his disciples that anyone who welcomes you is welcoming Christ as well. And anyone who is welcoming Christ is welcoming God. Whoever gives a cup of water to a child in the name of a disciple will not lose their reward. Think about your week. Did you look for God's presence in those who welcomed you? You're a child of God, and God is being revealed every day to us. The question is, do we notice? Lastly, Christ asks us to care for his children. In this context, children were considered the lowest class. Unable to care for themselves, they needed attention. Mortality rates were far higher in children than they are today. Orphans and street urchins abounded. Children were lucky to make it to adulthood when they could contribute to society, and often were not afforded the same grace that an adult might receive. The world was not as it is today. To offer a child a cup of water would have meant great empathy and consideration, a sacrifice of one's time and effort for someone who statistically maybe wouldn't make it. Jesus was calling for us to care for the helpless, to show love with no apparent reward. And I say apparent because what did he say? There is a great reward for those actions. So find ways that you can fulfill God's call in your life. Find ways to give your time, your talents, and your resources. Be thankful for the ability and the opportunity to serve, and know that God is loving you all the while for your efforts, celebrating as you grow in your faith and your relationship, rewarding you with his blessings as you nurture all the children of God. As you go into this week, think of how you interact with others. I encourage you to show mercy and sacrifice for all of God's children, old and young, deserving of it and undeserving of it. Show them the love of God that you have received. Welcome all and show kindness towards all, despite the circumstances. Remember, love conquers all, and God rewards the faithful. So go out into this world and love one another with faith, courage, and gratitude. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.